Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Matt's Planning. On today's episode, I have an expert on who I'm very excited to speak with. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert at.
Oh, hi, Matt. My name's Susan. I'm a mindful arts therapist. I'm from Australia. And mindful arts therapy is really about enhancing the power of mindfulness and art therapy to help healing, trauma, but also helping entrepreneurs and creatives get the most out of their lives.
Absolutely. I think that mindful arts therapy is one of the predominant therapeutic methods in the last several years for a lot of people. And I think that something that has its basis in coloring books is so important that it would grow so much. And obviously, the thinking of arts therapy as you come in and you just do art all day, you put on your smock, your t-shirt, or not t-shirt, but like collared shirt, like an Oxford shirt, but you put it on backwards so you don't
That's
get
interesting.
any you don't get any paint on yourself. And so that way, you can have that release and that willingness to go all out with your art. And it's so often that nobody ever has that smock, that artistic clothing, that item going into their adult lives. We have it in elementary school. We might have it in middle school if our schools have good funding, but we lose those smocks as we get older and we don't get the opportunities to be like, oh yeah, I get paint splattered on me. I get ink on me, and just be in the moment and having fun. As well as with the mindfulness, the initial purveyors of this form of therapy had their basis in coloring books, as I mentioned. And it was a person who was looking at black and white photos of the human brain and decided all of these little like ridges and folds and the brain cells, if you will, it would look so much better if this wasn't black and white. I want to color it in. And so various methods to color in those brain cells, so different sections. And that's actually how, a misinterpretation of that is actually how people started getting into phrenology back in the day, the debunked science. And it was a misinterpretation of this person trying to color the different sections. And somebody's like, oh, there's all these different sections of the brain, we should label them. And then they extrapolated from there about what they could do for human cognition, about what they meant about people's personalities and proclivities towards crime. And obviously that was wrong. They just misinterpreted this person's desire to color in the human brain. And so it was long thought lost that this form of art would come back. Is just really striking, and we're very lucky to have it back, because that misinterpretation can, really divert people's understandings too often. You're not limited to painting the brain. You're not limited to coloring in different sections of the brain. It's been expanded out to any type of art, and trying to get in touch with maybe your younger self and that kind of freedom to express yourself outside of judgment or a predisposition of like, this needs to be sold or this needs to be done for a specific project. It's just, oh, I found something, whether it be a black and white photo of a brain, a canvas or a collage or what have you, or needlepoint even. And you just engage with that and enjoy that. And that will ultimately bring you joy and then connect you with the therapeutic aspect, which I think is really important to expand your creativity, to help with calming a person, and ultimately just finding a little bit more enjoyment, not only in that space where you're being creative, but then that kind of, starts to filter out, so to speak, into the rest of your life. Much like when you're unable to color inside the lines, the rest of the people think, oh, it's so bad you colored outside the lines. As a kid, maybe you experienced that. But then what you realize is then when you try to color in those other areas where those colored pencils or those crayons were coloring in, you create new colors and new exciting ways that the art can go. Now, based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
I reckon about half. Yeah,
Okay.
50%. Well done. Not too bad. You've touched on a few really interesting points. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, tell me about this topic. I feel like I knew something, but yeah, more insight is definitely helpful.
Terrific. I don't know where the black and white image of the brain comes from, but I think that's going to stick with me for a long time. Where you got that from? That's quite cute. So coloring books. Don't get me started on coloring books, Matt. They're a great activity, coloring books, but art therapy goes a lot further beyond that.
I
It
see.
started over 100 years ago. So even though it's considered relatively new age, it's not.
Don't know that. That's wild.
It started in mental institutions and even in the First World War, playing music to recovering soldiers was an important part of their healing. So coloring books, they're great for reducing anxiety. They're great for just focusing attention if you need to calm yourself. But we don't actually don't use them at all in art
Oh, I
therapy.
see. I
Yeah.
see.
I like what you said about painting in the smock, because often people they think of art therapy and they think of painting, and I've often gone in and people said, "Well, why aren't we painting?" And I said, "Well, it's arts with an S, so we can do, there's a whole gamut of things we can do." And I sometimes feel that the art therapist or the art therapy world is to blame, because every time they post a blog or they talk about something, they usually use an image of somebody painting. But I think the analogy of the smock was really interesting. Yeah, we do take off our smocks, don't we? We don't let ourselves get messy and dirty or play. And play therapy is a. That's a whole new broad discipline that's really taking up. And I think as adults, isn't it important to play? Do
Oh
you
yeah,
think?
I think so. Yeah. And I mean, one of the things that I dealt with when I was in my 20s was I would have this, well, not even my 20s, even before that, when you kind of outgrow playing with toys. And I would go back to toys that I loved when I was 10 or 11 years old. I would try to go and play with them again because I was bored or whatever when I was 15, 16 years old. And I was like, oh, I'm losing my creativity because I could make these vivid things when I was a young kid, but I couldn't do it. And then I realized like, oh, I need to figure out how to retap into that. And I think that as we get older, you have to find the aspects of those things that most drew you in and try and tap into it again.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's really, really important. And people that have young children perhaps don't appreciate how lucky they are, because they get to play. They get to play
Right.
with blocks and tea sets and dolls and things, and reconnect with that child, that inner child. That's really good. I loved the way you talked about being in the moment. I think that was really significant. I don't know anything about phrenology, sorry.
Oh no, yeah,
Much.
that there's a reason why it's a debunked science. It's a very bad science, but yeah, but the legitimately the artwork of the human skull that they provide is usually very colorful, but it was very much they very much didn't know what they were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, how wrong they got it. It wasn't just slightly off, it was just so terribly wrong.
Yeah, just very off base. So what are some examples of some of the therapies that you provide?
Well, art therapy can cover everything, obviously, from painting to drawing, sculpting, music, either writing, playing, singing is part of that umbrella. And they're looking now at researching virtual reality and gaming.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I
That
mean,
is
I
very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just the different methods of connecting to just from a creative standpoint, there's so many video games that allow you, and I would assume in virtual reality as well, to create the world and like have a hand in that. So I bet that could be really, really helpful.
Yeah, and I think that's already started, particularly for younger children, because I predominantly work with preteens. So a game like Minecraft, for
Right.
example, offers that ability to build their own world and in a sense, keep themselves safe or take control of a world that might seem, in reality, everything might seem to them to be out of control. So, when you talked about touching with the younger self, and that. I think the importance of the non-judgment, I thought that was really, really good. And the joy that you can get from therapy. Because predominantly, I suppose the main game, particularly of art therapy, is that it's non-talking. So you don't need to sit down in front of your art therapist and explain how you're feeling, because sometimes we don't have the words. Sometimes we can't articulate what we're feeling, and particularly with children or people who've experienced extreme trauma. But deep down inside, their subconscious needs to get it out and needs to express it. So we could be sitting, you're at therapy, you could be sitting in front of your art therapist, and they might just slide gently over a piece of paper and some colored markers and ask you just to talk about your day, and while you're at it, draw. And it's the marks that are made on the paper, the colors that are used, whether any images are there, the size of them. You know, if you might say to somebody, paint yourself how you're feeling in your family. And they might paint themselves small and in a corner. Or they might paint themselves in the middle of the family, with the other members of the family being smaller. And all that relates to how they perceive their role and how they're feeling, if you like, about the emotion. And you can ask them, you can draw that out. So, you know, something as simple as making a few lines on a paper, along with a discussion or therapy or, you know, something else, can evoke all sorts of feelings. So again, it's a really interesting sort of science behind it all.
Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds really, really fascinating. And the thing that it brought to my mind is that I have always been a doodler. So
Excellent.
a very important documents and stuff like that, I have to keep a legal pad next to me. And people are like, "Oh, he's scribbling away. He must be taking such copious notes." And it's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm doing geometric shapes and like doing cross hatching and like filling in lines and stuff like that and taking the notes when I need them. But then by being able to do that and giving some extra structure to the distractibility that I might have, I'm able to be more present in the moment because I'm focusing on this thing. So I can then also focus the anxiousness in my mind or the anxiety in my mind in the going through this thing that I'm creating. So I can focus in the moment with what people are saying and my participation in it.
That's excellent. That I do exactly the same thing, and I have been accused of the same. They say, "Oh, I thought you were taking notes, and you're just drawing." I said, "No, it helps me concentrate. Helps me
Exactly.
listen. Yeah, it
Yeah,
helps me listen. Yeah."
absolutely. And my favorite thing that's happened to me a couple times, mostly when I was younger, and hopefully I hope those people that questioned you, if they did it in like kind of a confrontational way. When I remember one moment when I did it as a kid, somebody confronted me, a teacher, and then I just recited back exactly, not like word for word, but like exactly what they were talking about. And I'm like, I'm paying attention. I got a doodle.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's great. And how long have you been in this field?
Well, officially about 5 years. I think once I discovered I was w working on becoming a mindful therapist, and then I kind of stumbled through art therapy. And then I kind of looked at them both, and there are other practitioners who do both. But I think looking back, I have used art as therapy all my life, as an artist, particularly to work through complex emotional situations. And yeah, I think I've also I'm an author, so I've also been writing, and I use journaling, always use journaling to again process what's happening in the forefront of my brain to get that out onto paper, so that the rest of my brain can sort of kind of work on releasing the emotions and sort of, like you said, building that sense of calm and even a sense of joy after very quiet. I kind of think of it as a quiet joy. You're not running around the house going, "Yay, this is great." It's just this really lovely contemplative quietness about moving ahead and being part of that healing journey and building emotional resilience, which is one of my specialities, if you
That's fantastic. Susan, this has been so insightful. If people wanted to learn more about you or more about this topic, where would you recommend that they go?
Sure, you can catch me on my website, which is mindfularts with an S, therapy.com.au, because I'm in Australia, but I'm on all the socials as well. So just have a look for Mindful Arts Therapy, have a little logo with a coloured bird lifting itself up. I'm sure you'll find me. If anyone's got any questions, they're welcome to message me, and yeah, we'll have a chat. It'll be good fun.
Wonderful. Susan, thank you so much for joining me today. I feel like I've learned so, so much, and I can't thank you enough.
Thank you. It's been lovely being here.
Wonderful. My name's Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt's Planning. Before we go today, I want to thank Ryan Lawson, my dear friend, for making the theme music for Mattsplaining. Ryan can be reached at beatblenderstudios@gmail.com or at beatblenderstudios on Instagram and TikTok.